in the gym. So I'm glad you're here this morning. I learned yesterday late that Miss Janie Cooley passed away. And so her granddaughter Katie's in our Sunday school, and Megan, so we want to remember the Cooley family. She was, if you didn't know her, she was an absolute beautiful Christian woman. She was just precious. One of my favorite ladies in our church for years and years. She just was so faithful until she just became kind of, you know, a shut-in. But she's just carried on a prayer ministry for years after she couldn't get out. But she was so dear. So we're going to miss her. So let's open with a word of prayer this morning, and we're going to jump right into our lesson, and I'm so happy you're here. Let's pray together. Our Father, we begin this morning just by quietening our hearts. We're going to direct our minds towards you, Father. We ask you to give us ears to hear what your word is saying. We thank you for the power of your word and for the privilege of gathering here every Sunday morning to gaze at your beautiful words of life. And so this morning, take this lesson. I pray that it will land on good soil. I pray that's what our hearts are, good soil. Not rocky, not weedy, but good soil. When the seed of your word lands on it, it bears a hundredfold of fruit. And so, Father, as we're on this journey of becoming godly women, I pray that you'll take your word and use it to grow us into godliness. I pray, Father, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome back to our study. Today is our fourth lesson. Is that right? I think so. Lesson four, yes. And I'm pulling my lessons out of this book by David Mathis called Habits of Grace. You can get it on Amazon if you like my lessons and you want to kind of read the book for yourself. You can do that. I'm going to go up just a little. And so I would recommend it, but I hope you will come to Sunday school and take advantage of all of this good information. Now, last week we talked about living lives that are centered around God's word. Think of your own life now. Think of your life, your time, your rhythms of your day. And I'm going to ask you, does your life include God's word on a daily basis? Does your life give priority to God's word? Does your life center around God's word? Now, making pathways in our lives every day to where we are circling the Word of God. Now, let's reason together as we begin this morning. There you are. You're at church. I'm assuming you're born again. I'm assuming you're a Christian woman. And so if we are God's daughters, and if God is our Heavenly Father, doesn't it just make sense that we need to listen to our Heavenly Father? Now, would you agree with me? That just makes sense, doesn't it? Well, listen, God is speaking today. God is clearly speaking to this generation. And you and I have the privilege of hearing God speak as we come to the Word of God every day. Now, last week we talked about the importance of giving the Word of God daily priority, of intentionally weaving our lives around the Word of God. And I suggested several easy plans for you to choose from, and I brought them back with me again this week because some of you weren't here last week, and maybe you were in a hurry. And many of you are already doing a plan, and that's wonderful. Stick with your plan. But for those of you who aren't doing a plan, I brought four for you to look at. Now, the easiest one of the four is a plan called 5x5x5. And these are three navigators. It's where you are committing, and if you aren't daily already in the rhythms of putting God's word in your life, and you're busy, and you just don't know how you're ever going to have time, this is a good plan to start with, because it's committing to 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes, 5 days a week. Now, I know you can do that. And so if you say, I just want to get my feet well, start with the 5x5x5 plan. There are three other plans that I have that will take you about 15 minutes a day. And one is reading a book of the Bible at a time. And that's just taking a book and going through it portion by portion. And then these other two are plans that will take you. One takes you to three different places in the Bible, I think, and one may take you to four. I can't remember, and I don't have my glasses on. But these four plans are laying on a table as you walk out of the fellowship hall today, and I want you to stop there and pick one up. Pick up all four if you think, well, I don't know which one. Pick up all four if you want to. But I'm hoping that you will make a commitment as a result of our Sunday school lesson to be in God's Word. Now, I am just wondering, did any of you last week pick up a plan and say, I'm going to start next week? So I want to spend a few minutes around our table and ask that question. What plan did you choose? How did you do in your plan? And just discuss the importance and the challenges of getting into God's Word daily or in your life. Just take a minute around your table and talk about it. I mainly want you to say, I did a plan. Yes. So right now, take a few minutes, talk around your table, discuss your plan. You're saying. Just raise your hand if you did start a new plan last week. Anybody? Okay, we've got one up here. Yeah? Yeah? All right. Okay. Now, we said last week, and I'm beginning with just a few points of review, that the place you start is just reading, right? And so we read for breadth, we study for depth. And there is an X factor that we mentioned last week when you come to the Word of God, because something supernatural happens when we come to the Word of God, something mysterious. Because hovering over the living Word of God is the Spirit of God. The Word of God is alive. It's inspired. It's actually written by the Holy Spirit as He inspired men to write down the words of God. And so that's something we need to remember as we come to the Word of God every day. You're not reading your Bible alone. You are coming to the Holy Spirit. You have a helper, and He is one who will speak to you. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will give us insight. He will cause your light bulbs to come on, so to speak. And His name is the Holy Spirit. So as you come to the Word of God, just to read it, you should begin praying. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm new to this Bible thing every day, and I am going to ask you to speak to me. I'm going to recognize I'm not alone. You're here. You're my helper. We said last week Bible reading is kind of like raking. It's so easy to get out in your yard and rake up a big pile of leaves, which leads to Bible study, which is more like digging in the flower bed. And it's a little harder. But the cool thing is, the more you dig, you might just discover diamonds, which will cause you to marvel and wonder and be in awe of God and even worship Him. Now, I'm tempted to teach that whole lesson that we had last week all over again, because I absolutely love exhorting you and exhorting myself to be women who are women of God's Word. I personally believe it is the key to growing into a godly woman. Now, for this morning, let's transition. We're going to talk about something different. And I want you, as we begin our subject this morning, just to picture with me that outside it's very, very cold. That's not hard. We've had some cold weather, right? And I have sent you an invitation to come out of the cold and to sit with me by my fire. And as you enter into my house to have your visit with me, and we're looking forward to getting to know each other better, I'm going to listen to your stories. You're going to listen to my stories. And we've got this little period of time. Maybe you only have 5 minutes. Maybe you only have 15 minutes. Or maybe we have a whole morning to sit and talk without distraction. But I invite you just to come in out of the cold, sit by the fire, warm yourself, and let's just have wonderful fellowship. Of course, we'll have food, because Baptists have to have food. It's an unwritten law. Now, doesn't that sound delightful? Because I just love a warm fire. I have a real fireplace, and I burn a lot of wood. And I love to hear the wood crackle, and the smell of it is so good. And I love sitting together with the ones I love and being unhurried and blessing each other with words of care and love and curiosity. And it's just one of life's richest blessings. Wouldn't you agree with me? Well, that is what our quiet time is like. As we come to God's Word, we sit by the warm fire of His Word. And it begins to warm us. We're coming to God Himself. And as we read it, the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit is drawing us in. And many, many times as I'm doing that myself, as I'm reading God's Word, I'll just come to a certain verse that I'm reading, and I'll just stop. That verse just surprises me. That verse may be a verse I know and I'm very familiar with, but it'll say something different to me. It'll just stand out on the page. And I'll have to stop, and I'll ponder that verse, and I'll read it again. And I'm a journaler, so I pull out my journal, which is right there beside me, and I'll write the verse down. And I'll think about that verse. And it stirs my heart. And I'll write down, maybe I'll pray that prayer, or I'll think about somebody, pray this for so-and-so. Pray this for myself. Maybe I'll paraphrase it. I think about how cool it is that God singles out his scripture and speaks directly to us. Now, if we sat around the table, we could talk about that, because I know that has happened to you. And it's usually something that's going on in your life at that very time. Maybe you need a word of encouragement, and there it is. It's just what you needed. Maybe you needed some direction in your life, and there it is. It's giving you the direction you need to take. Sometimes God's word corrects you. Sometimes God's word instructs you, tells you what you need to do. But it's a word that you need. It's a word that encourages. And as you're sitting there with your word of God, you feel so loved by God because he's speaking to you. And he's speaking very personally to you. And it's a marvelous thing when that happens. And so what I'm talking about here is called, and I want you to write it on your handout, because it's today's path to grace that we're going to be talking about. And it's called the art of meditation. Now, ladies, this is a skill we need to learn. We need to develop in our lives. And it's a wonderful path of entering into the marvelous grace of God in your life. We're studying about habits that lead us into grace. Oh, my goodness. I need bukoodles and bukoodles of grace. I like that word, bukoodle. Because if I want to live victoriously in my generation, it will only happen by God's grace. And the good news is that grace is available, but the question for us to answer is this: how do I access more of the grace of God? Because I'm so desperately needy for it. And so this morning, here comes another pathway to take that will position us to be in a place to receive the beautiful grace of God. Now let's think about that amazing servant named Paul. Just one of my favorite Bible person. I spend more time with Paul than any other Bible person. And you know what he said? He said, "I am what I am." And he was a wonderful man, a wonderful leader. Oh my goodness. Where would we be without 13 books of the Bible written by him? And he said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." That Paul, you're so absolutely amazing. Well, it wasn't me, Teresa. It was all the grace of God moving in my life. Now, this morning, you and I will also be what we are. We will be what we will be only by the grace of God. And I want to be a recipient of that grace. And I know you do too. And that's what our study is all about. And I'm so glad you're here this morning. And so we want to commit, first of all, to be women of the Word. Okay? Just to start by reading our Bibles every day. And to study our Bibles. See, reading your Bible will lead to you going deeper in studying your Bible. That's just the starting place. We're choosing just to expose our hearts and our eyes and our minds to the living Word of God. But God has created us in a wonderful way. He's given us this amazing capacity to ponder and pause as we're reading in the Word of God. We don't want to read too quickly over what God says, do we? Because sometimes as we are in God's Word, the Spirit will stop us. He'll invite us to come and to look deeper and to reflect over what God is saying to you in his word. His word is like food, spiritual food. And so he'll say, "Stop, Teresa, and chew. Chew on this for a moment. Let your heart and your mind roll some reality around in your thoughts. The Holy Spirit may press it deeply into your feelings. I'm talking about the art of meditation. Let's write some things down about meditation. Here's my first thing I want you to write down. Meditation is thinking deeply on truths and spiritual realities that are revealed in God's Word, the Bible. I think meditation is probably the most misunderstood of all the paths to God's grace. But write this down. It is actually the high point of receiving God's Word. Have you ever gone to the Ark in Kentucky? Any of y'all ever seen the Ark? Oh, it's so amazing. Please go. It's wonderful. Well, they sell a t-shirt there that I love. It's called "We're Taking the Rainbow Back." And it's so cute. Well, this morning when you think of meditation, I'm going to go and have a t-shirt printed for us and bring it next week. Haha. And it's going to say, "We're taking meditation back." Because when I say the word meditation, what do you think of? I got to sit cross-legged on the floor and hold my hands out. And I've got to hum and I've got to get to a place of emptiness. And this is what I'm talking about. It's called Eastern mysticism. Well, the church needs to take meditation back. Because Christian meditation looks nothing like that. It has nothing to do with emptying your mind. Well, what does it look like, Teresa? Well, let's write it down. It's actually filling your minds with biblical and theological substance. Filling your minds with truth that comes from somewhere else outside ourselves, and it comes from the living Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you a good Bible definition of what meditation is. Look at it on your handout, Colossians 3:16. And there Paul says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." That's what meditation is. It's letting God's word get in you, and it's richly dwelling there. It's not sitting and doing nothing, being tuned into your own mind, emptying yourself. No, 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 no. It's feeding your mind on the Word of God, digesting those words slowly, savoring those words, and cherishing them. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, because this is a very key moment in redemptive history. Moses has just died. And there are the children of Israel on the edge of the wilderness. And they're about to enter into the promised land that God has given to them, the land of Canaan. But Moses, their revered leader, there was never a leader like Moses in all of Israel's history. And now he has died. Who is going to be their leader to take them in to possess the land of Canaan? And so God comes himself and speaks to Joshua. Moses has already told Joshua, "Joshua, you're the one that you're going to take the children in." And that was important, but that wasn't enough. God himself comes and speaks to Joshua. Three times he gives Joshua a very clear directive. Look at it on your handout. In verse 6, 7, and 9. And he says, "Joshua, be strong and courageous." How on earth is Joshua going to be strong and courageous? Where is he going to find such strength? Where is he going to find such courage to do this unbelievable task of entering in a land that they said is filled with giants? And how is this pitiful little group of people that's been wandering for 40 years going to do it? And the answer is, very simply, ladies, look at me, through meditation. What? Look at it with me in verse 8. Here's what God spoke to Moses. "This book of the law," he's talking about God's holy Bible, "this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it how often? Day and night. Now, Joshua, listen to me, God says. I don't want you to just be familiar with my word. I don't want you just to get up in the morning and do the 5x5x5 plan. I don't even want you to even really do deep study of it. No, what I'm saying, and don't miss this, I want you to let your heart and your mind absolutely be captivated by my word. I want you to build your life on its truths. I want your spare thoughts. I want your mind to gravitate to my word at all times. I want the words, my words of instruction to absolutely saturate you. It will give you direction. It will shape your mind. It will fuel your affections, and it will inspire your actions. And the result will be, Joshua, you will be strong and courageous, and you will conquer the land. We're living in such days. How are we ever going to be women who aren't depressed? How are we going to be women who aren't anxious? You know, anxiety is a huge thing with women. How are we ever going to not be dependent on prescription drugs to help us get through the day? How are we ever going to be an overcomer in the generation that we're living in? And God is calling us to be strong and courageous, to stand for Him in our generation. How are we ever going to do it? I'm going to suggest to you, just very simply, by being in God's Word, letting it captivate you, letting it saturate your heart and your mind. You're going to start by the 5x5 plan. That's a beginning. But it's not going to stay there. You're going to grow in your love for God's Word. Let's go back to Psalm 1, another place. Get some more information. Because Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, they echo God's words to Joshua. Look at those verses with me. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Let's write this down. Meditation is delighting yourself in the law of the Lord. Meditation is doing that day and night. Do you want to be blessed? You know what that word blessed means? It means happy. Do you want to be happy, is what the psalmist is saying. Well, if you will set your heart, listen very carefully, this is so practical, and this is so easy. You're going to be a woman who's setting her heart to delight in God's word, and she's going to do it day and night. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. It's all about God's word, and the idea of meditation just dominates this chapter. Here the psalmist says in verses 15 and 78 that he meditates on your precepts. In verses 23 and 48, he meditates on your statutes. In verse 27, he meditates on your wondrous works. In verse 99, he claims your testimonies are my meditation. And he just blurts out in praise in verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. If God's old covenant instruction, the Old Testament, was so precious to the psalmist, how much more should the New Testament gospel captivate us in our meditation? If you do a study of church history, you will find that meditation has a deep and enduring place as one of the mightiest means of God's grace through the years for his people. It is not a new idea. And I want you to write it this way on your handout. It is a lost art. A lost art. Did I put that on your handout? And I'm suggesting this morning that we might just need to put down our screens, turn off our TVs, and rediscover the art of meditation so that we too can be blessed and happy and full of light and full of joy. Let's go back in church history for a minute. Let's go back to the time of the Puritans. I know you've heard of the Puritans. They lived primarily in the late 1500s through the mid to late 1600s. And they were a group of people that were beautiful Christian. There was just a movement during their generation. And their heart was that they wanted to purify the Church of England from practices that they believed were not rooted in Scripture. And they were deeply serious about living devout Christian lives under the authority of God's Word. They honored God's Word. They not only studied it, they not only preached the Bible, but they meditated on the Bible. They slowly pondered and prayed over and pressed the Word of God into their heart. They viewed meditation on Scripture as a daily spiritual discipline that they would not miss. And we have recorded for us so many of their sermons, their journals, their devotional writings, and their prayers. I brought one book. Here it is. That someone gave me several years ago, and it's called The Valley of Vision. And it's a book of prayers that were written by the Puritans. And every morning as I start my quiet time, I start with one Puritan prayer. It's just like on two pages. And I'm a wordy person. I love words. And their prayers are absolutely so beautiful. I just don't know how God gave them such wonderful ways to express their prayers. And I'll just sit there, and you can tell I just write and I underline and I put stars by. Do y'all do that when you read? And I just am so blessed by their prayers. And so that's just a kind of just a thing I want you to think about. You might want to buy this book. It's really good. It's called The Valley of Vision. But let's write something down. Meditation. Now think about what I'm going to say. It's the missing link between Bible intake in prayer. There's a missing link. Okay, Teresa, I've got to read my Bible, check. I've got to pray. Dear God, help me this day. Help my children watch over, do this, do that. I've got to go, it's late. I pray, check. But there's a missing link there. And it's called meditation. Now let me illustrate it to you this morning. Say you're in Psalm 23, okay? And so you read verse 1. You know that verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You're sitting there, and you're a very needy woman as you're reading this. And you have some needs in your life. And you start thinking about those words, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus, you're my shepherd. You even said in the New Testament, I am the good shepherd. Jesus, I am your lamb. Now that's a picture I can really see as I'm sitting there in my chair. And I start to meditate on this. Jesus, I'm in your flock. Jesus, I'm not my own keeper. It's not up to me to meet my own needs because I have a good shepherd. Jesus, you are watching over me. I like that thought. Jesus, that brings me comfort because I feel alone so often. That's helping me, Lord. I'm not feeling as anxious as I was. When I realize I'm your sheep, then I know, Lord, sheeps, is that a word, sheeps? Sheeps are prone to wander. Lord, I'm afraid I'm going to wander. I don't know which way I'm to go. I can't provide for myself. I'm so dependent on you. You're wise. You're not careless. You watch over me like a good shepherd. You feed me. You lead me. You guard me. You protect me. Do you see how this meditation on one verse, it's taking me into prayer. It's taking me into communion. Lord, I will trust you today. I'm not going to be a sheep that murmurs and complains as though I were abandoned. I'm not abandoned. You're there. And you say that you will not want. You're sufficient, Lord, for all I need. Would you teach my heart to rest? Would you teach my heart to be content? Would you teach my heart to trust that you know where you're leading me? You are wise and you are faithful. You see, that's such a wonderful way to let Bible intake lead you right in to communion with God in prayer. Thomas Watson was a very loved and a very well-read Puritan. You may have read something by him. I want to give you a quote from him that I think is worth listening to. And I put it on your handout. He says, "The reason we come away so cold from reading the word is because we do not warm ourselves by the fire of meditation." You see, this path that I'm talking about this morning, of taking God's word and chewing on it, it is a means of grace, but it doesn't stand alone by itself. It bridges the gap between Bible reading and prayer. And there's a process there. We're in God's word. We're rolling God's word over in our minds. That word is beginning to ignite our hearts. We take God's word into our very souls. We personalize it. And we respond to him in prayer. You let God's word lead in your prayer. Matthew Henry is another Puritan. Have you heard of his name? He's written a lot of commentaries that many Bible teachers love and use. And he's just famous. But here's a quote from him this morning. He said, "As meditation is the best preparation for prayer, so prayer is the best issue of meditation." In other words, meditation leads you right in to prayer. Meditation is more about the posture of our souls than the posture of our bodies. You don't have to sit cross-legged on the floor. That's good news, especially for us who are old. So, Christian meditation. It begins with our eyes and our ears on the Word of God. It happens when a verse of Scripture grabs our attention. We choose to chew on that verse, focus on that verse. Perhaps taking out your pen, writing it down, or putting your fingers on the keys of your keyboard, if you like to journal in your keyboard. But we seek to better understand God's word. It's warming your soul at the fire of his word. I love that picture. And we let that word lead us into praying and then into our day. And we're blessed. And we're happy. And we're nourished spiritually. Now, I'll just say this morning, this isn't easy to do in our stressed-out society. We've got to be intentional. Now, I'm just wondering what you're thinking this morning as I'm teaching this to you. Is this ringing true in your heart? Are you kind of getting a little taste, a little hunger, and a little desire, and even a need to make room for this in your lives? You've got to start by committing to being in God's word every day. You've got to commit to putting yourself under God's word. Come to Sunday school. Hear it taught. Go to worship service. many, many ways you can put yourself under God's Word. That's going to lead you to deeper study. And then learn to linger. Allow God to single out verses that will nourish you as you meditate. I will just say as a testimony this morning, to me, the art of meditation, it's the high point of my daily time in God's Word. It's why I go to God's Word. I'm listening. I want to hear Him speak. I want that. I want Him to take what I call the logos of God's Word and turn it into a rhema. Logos, just written word. Rhema, God's Word to you. He takes it, lifts it off the page, and puts it on your heart. And it becomes yours. It doesn't happen to me every day, but many, many days as I'm sitting there. And the Holy Spirit's hovering over the Word of God. God speaks directly to me through His Word. He gives me specific words. He's leading me. And that guides me and leads me into meaningful prayer. And I'll just say, each morning, I really do have to look at my watch and say, oh my gosh, I got to get up. I've been there for a long while. And I'll say, I got to go. I don't want to. And I have to get out the chair and get into my day. But I'm meeting God there every morning. I didn't always feel this way. But it started with a conviction. And that's what I'm hoping that God is putting in your hearts this morning. It was a conviction that I needed more. I needed to go deeper with God. Do you feel that? I started feeling like, oh my goodness, look how many grandchildren I've got. I need to pray. That's a lot. My children. What can I do? I want to grow in godliness. And that conviction turned into a commitment, which is what I'm asking you to do. Pick up a plan if you don't have one. Commit to getting yourself. Start by reading the Word. Make it a habit. Make it a joyful habit. It is such a joyful habit to me. It's turned into a way of life. It's turned into a way of prayer. I'm convinced that the best way to serve my family and serve my Sunday school class and serve my church is to nourish myself and be led in prayer for you and for my family. And I want to close by saying this. It's not something legalistic. I do have a plan I try to follow. But it's not legalistic. I don't say, okay, I did that, let me check my box. It's not about checking boxes. It's about meeting and communing with the God of the universe every day. Lingering and fellowshipping with Him, just like I started my lesson. He's inviting me to come sit by the fire. And I'm responding to the invitation. And we're deeply communing with one another. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for this art of meditation. I pray, God, that we would be women that will learn it, that we will be women that will experience it. Thank You that Your Holy Spirit is hovering over Your Word. You are eager to meet with us through Your Word. Your plan for us is to grow so that we might be useful. And I pray, Father, that in our busy world, that You would help us, God, to be women who give priority to Your Word. And we pray this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.